Well, it is so good to see everybody, and although this is the first time that we've been gathered together like this, we are 3 weeks into our summer message series on sports in the Bible. And today we're on to basketball, and the message is entitled Nothing But Net. And it's probably a good thing that I have to hold this microphone, because you couldn't see my poor basketball skills. I have played basketball since I was a little kid, but I have to admit that I was never any good at it. When we had the Ash Wednesday message here at church, and Anthony Perry was delivering the message right in the middle of the sermon, he had somebody hold up a basketball hoop, and he shot buckets while he was preaching. And it would go swoosh, nothing but net. And I'm afraid if I tried it, it would be nothing but air. So I'm just going to put this basketball away right now. I admire those who can shoot the perfect shot with such an arc that it falls through the hoop without touching the hoop at all and just swoosh right through, nothing but net. It's one of the most beautiful sights in sports. Especially if it's a buzzer beater, if it happens at the end of the game for the victory. I still remember Blake Hoffarber and his unbelievable shot in the 2005 Minnesota High School State Championship. It was overtime. There were 2.5 seconds left, and Blake's team was losing by two. There was a long inbound pass the whole length of the court to Blake, who tipped it to a teammate and fell on the floor onto his back. And the teammate tipped it back to him, and while lying on his back, Hoffarber shot as time expired, and swish, nothing but net. That shot won the ESPY for the best play of the year in all of sports. Nothing but net. It's a beautiful thing to see. Well, today's scripture is about nothing but net, but it's a different net, and it's a different result. We find it in Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that's another name for the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowded around him listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." They've been fishing all night, and it's been nothing but nets. They put the nets out, they bring them in, and there's nothing in them. It's nothing but net. Still, when Jesus tells them to put out the nets again, they do. Here's what happened. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the great catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Now these fishermen had every reason to ignore Jesus' advice. I mean, they were professional fishermen. And Jesus was a carpenter. What does a carpenter know about fishing? but they listened to his word, they followed his teaching, and they received such a catch. Their nets were bursting and their boats were sinking. And then they followed him and became his disciples. Now, you might be surprised to hear that that at one time I played basketball at Duke University. Now, notice that I said at Duke University, not for Duke University. The closest I got to the basketball team was setting up the clocks and the scorer's table for them. But I did play there at the university out on the playground. And I got involved in a pickup game. There's a bunch of guys that were playing, and I went up and asked if I could join them. And they said, sure, come on in. And so they put me on a team, and they passed the ball into me. And I immediately passed the ball to one of my teammates. And then there erupted a bunch of swearing and cursing, and they gave the ball to the other team, and I didn't know what happened. A little while later, the same thing happened. The ball was out of bounds. They passed it into me. I passed it to somebody under the bucket. And again, they started getting all upset. See, I didn't realize that they had a rule there that you had to dribble the ball if you got the ball from out of bounds like that. And so it was a turnover. But I didn't know that. I didn't have anybody to coach me. I didn't have anybody to tell me the rules. And so I embarrassed myself, and I hurt my team. I needed a coach. I needed somebody to help me understand. The offer that Jesus made to those first disciples, the offer that Jesus makes to all of us, is to learn from him the game of life. Learn his rules. Follow his ways. And discover blessings beyond our wildest dreams to win eternal life and have abundant joy. Those first disciples, Simon Peter and James and John, they followed Jesus and their nets were full. And followers of Jesus have been receiving full nets ever since and bringing people to Christ and experiencing the blessing of walking with him. Jesus offers to coach us all if we'll follow him. But of course, that's not always easy. It's not always easy to follow him because sometimes it means that we have to do things that we don't usually do. Sometimes it means letting go of something that's standing in the way of full nets, that's standing in the way of full life, of following Jesus. Not everyone that heard Jesus speak listened to him and followed him. There's a story in Matthew chapter 19 about a rich young man, and he comes to Jesus because he wants to know how he can get eternal life. And Jesus says to him, well, why don't you try following the commandments? And he says, which ones? So Jesus mentions a few of them. Things like, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy says, I've done all of that. I've done all of it since I was young. And he says, still something is missing. I followed all those rules. I've done everything I could, but something's missing. And so Jesus responds to him. He says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me. Young man, you've tried to do good. That's great. But something is standing in your way. Something is holding you back. And in your case, it's money. So why don't you give generously? In fact, just give it all away and come, follow me. And you'll find what you're missing. But that young man walks away because Jesus' coaching is too hard. Oh, if he would have just listened. If he had just listened to Jesus, he would have seen his nets full. He would have seen his life full. He would have experienced the eternal life that he was so desperate to find. And you know, the same is for us. If we listen to him, if we follow him, then we'll discover that our nets are full beyond our wildest dreams. Jesus tells him, just give what you have and come follow me. Just try it. Try being generous. You know, about the time that Blake Hoffarber made his amazing shot, there was a Sports Illustrated writer, Rick Riley, who challenged his readers to send $10 to buy bed nets for children who are dying of malaria in Africa. Malaria was killing about one child every 15 seconds. And for a $10 bed net, they could put it over their beds, the mosquitoes wouldn't bite them at night, and they wouldn't come down with malaria. And soon the NBA joined, and so did the United Methodist Church, and there was something called the Nothing But Nets campaign. And the United Methodist Church took it one step further, and they developed Imagine No Malaria, where they provided not only nets, but medical care and training. And in 10 years, the Methodists raised $68 million, treated 2.7 million patients, and saved 6.8 million lives. Unlike the rich young man, all of those people who gave generously to the poor children in Africa, they saw the nets full of 6.8 million lives saved. That's more than the entire population of Minnesota. But the United Methodists in Africa didn't just follow that one instruction of Jesus to give to the poor. They also listened to his other call, the call that we hear today, to listen to Jesus and to follow him and to learn how to fish for people. And during the last two decades, the United Methodist Christians in Africa have cast their nets and they have brought in millions of souls to find salvation in Jesus Christ. Nearly 6 million people in Africa have discovered Jesus and joined his people through the United Methodist Church. And now, the number of United Methodists in Africa is about equal to the number of United Methodists in America. God has filled the nets from those in Africa, and they are experiencing the joy of eternal life in Christ Jesus. But you know, the joy of listening to Jesus, the joy of following him, the joy of experiencing full nets and learning to fish for people is not just for some other people in some other land. It's not just for Simon and James and John there in Galilee. It's not just for the people in Liberia and Nigeria and Zimbabwe. It's for all of us. It's the same call for all of us to follow me. And I'll coach you. And your nets will be full. And I'll teach you to fish for people so they too can know the joy you do, so that they too can have eternal life, so that they too can follow me. I've said it over and over again. It's so good to be back together. And next week, we're going to be back inside at our regular service times at 8:30 and 10 o'clock. And that will be a wonderful experience too. But before we go back inside, I want you to look around. I want you to look around and think of the people in the houses around us. Think about the people that play out in this park. And then think about the people beyond that and all the way around the world. Because if we come back together and it's just us, happy that we can be back together with our friends, then I think we'll miss one of the lessons of this time that we've been separated. And that lesson is that God desires all of us to come together. Not just the same ones, but the people that don't know him yet. And God has sent us out into the world so that others might know him, so that others might find salvation, so that others might be wrapped in the nets of Christ's love and experience his joy. So it'll be great when we get back together inside. It's wonderful that we're out here. But I'm grateful for those people who have been worshiping with us online in places that we can only dream of. And I am grateful for the people that God will lead us to in the coming weeks and months and years as we seek to fill the nets, as we seek to follow Christ's call and his coaching to fish for people, to make disciples of all people. After Blake Hoffarber made that amazing shot, he became a celebrity, and he was brought out to New York to be on the Today Show and to try to recreate the shot. For $10,000, if he made that shot again from his back, they would give $10,000 to charity. And they walked him through the long inbounds pass, the tip, the lying on his back, the ball comes to him, and they gave him the ball, and he shot it again. And he made it again from his back. He did it again. And what Jesus did on the shores of Galilee, he wants to do again and again and again in your life, in my life, and in the lives of people we don't even know yet, in the area around Hastings and far beyond to the other side of the world. Jesus wants to do it again. He wants to bless people with full nets and say to them, come follow me, and I'll teach you to fish for people. Let's pray. Lord, do it again. Call our name, fill our nets, teach us your ways, and may we fish for people as you did with an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love until your nets are full and we all celebrate together being your people. Thank you for the coaching you give. Thank you for the life that you gave for us. Your reckless love. Amen.